The scripture reading is Ezekiel chapter 47, 1 through 5, and 1 John chapter 5, verse 16, I read. Then he brought me back to the door of the house, and behold, the water was flowing from under the threshold of the house toward the east. The house faced east, and the water was flowing down from under, from the right side of the house, from south of the altar. He brought me out by the way of the north gate, and led me around on the outside to the outer gate by way of the gate that faces east. And behold, the water was trickling from the south side. When the man went out toward the east with the line in his hand, he measured 1,000 cubits, and he led me through the water. Water reaching the ankles. Again, he measured 1,000 and led me through the water, water reaching the knees. Again, he measured 1,000 and led me through the water, water reaching the loins. Again, he measured 1,000 and it was a river that I could not ford, for the water had risen enough water to swim in, a river that could not be forded. 1 John 5:16. If anyone sees his brother committing a sin not leading to death, he shall ask, and God will for him give life to those who commit sin not leading to death. There is a sin leading to death. I do not say that he should make request for this. Amen.
Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, members of our 10,000 branch churches in Korea and all over the world, local sanctuary members, those who are attending the service on the internet worldwide, GCN viewing audiences, children of Sunday school, this is the 23rd session of God Measures Our Faith. After transplanting the rice seedlings, you have to fully irrigate the rice paddies. But if there is a drought, the bottom of the paddy will be exposed, and there cracks will develop if the drought is prolonged. Then the roots dry up and the seedlings will die. Those who have committed grave sins that lead to death can be likened to such rice seedlings. If the water is drained away from the root, that is to say, if God's word drains out from the heart of a man, this man cannot receive salvation. Until now, we have looked into the sins that deprive of salvation, which are found in many parts of the Bible. Beginning today, let us delve into the sins leading to death. There are sins leading to death, and there are sins depriving of salvation. And in the Bible, you have to learn about those sins that are in the Bible. What are sins leading to death, and what are sins depriving of salvation? They might sound similar, but they are not similar at all. I hope you will carefully listen to this message and be more cautious about sins so that you can live in the Word of God. In doing so, I pray in the name of the Lord that you will enjoy all the blessings in your life as recorded in Psalm 1:3. He will be like a tree firmly planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither. And in whatever he does, he prospers. A tree firmly planted by streams of water, no matter how dry it is, they don't dry up because they can be supplied with water from the streams of water and they can yield fruits. And likewise, if you dwell in the Word of God, even though you have a recession, economic downturn, or if things are very difficult, even if the situations are difficult, those who live in the Word of God by God's grace, you will have prosperous ways. Because your soul prospers, you will prosper in all things and you will be in good health. No disease or germs or any epidemic cannot harm you anyway. In any way, you will be protected because it's the Word of God. Because the Word of God says so. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, viewing audiences, let us once again think about the background and the significance of today's passage. Ezekiel saw in his vision that water came out of the temple, flowed through the temple and out the temple. This means the Word of God preached in the temple goes out to the world. This water became increasingly deeper and eventually formed the river. When Ezekiel was first crossing this water, it came up to his ankle, the next time it came up to his knees and then to his waist. Finally, it came up so high it could not be forded. Water spiritually symbolizes the Word of God. Therefore, the extent to which one's body is submerged symbolizes the extent to which we practice the Word of God, which then represents our measures of faith. At the Great White Throne Judgment, God will measure each one's faith and give a strict judgment. Each one's faith is measured accurately with the Word of God. Using all the against all the words written in both Old and New Testament. Nowadays, now your measures of faith are being checked. And this is so important because it tells you where you're at exactly. Oh, I'm an elder, so I must have a lot of measure of faith. But even though you are elders, some of you are in the second level and or in the beginning of third level. Even though you are pastors, some of you are in the second level and the beginning of third level. Even though you are senior deaconesses, you've been attending church for such a long time, but still you are in the second level or beginning of third level. And even though you're Levites, some of you are in the second level or some of you are not even in the second level. You might think you have a good measure of faith, but when you are checked, that is not really true. I thought district leaders in our church must have some full extent of some significant extent of measure of faith, but when they are actually checked by God, when the measures are given, these district leaders who are leaders of the members, many of them are still in second level of faith. And there are many who are in the beginning stage of third level of faith. That is why there is no revival. I realized. If the district leaders, many of them are on the rock of faith and in spirit, that district will have a lot of spiritual growth. Many of them will get into the rock of faith. If the pastors, parish pastors are in spirit, many of the parish members will be on the rock of faith. But that's not the case. How can you lead anybody into spirit while you are not in spirit? Because you don't know. So when God is checking you, everything is revealed. So how thankful this is. If you mistakenly thought you had great measure of faith and find out your measure of faith only at the judgment throne, it'll be something so sad. So now you know it exactly, so you can improve your measure of faith. You can increase your measure of faith. Oh, you might have thought that you could go into the third kingdom of heaven, but as your measure of faith is checked, some of them can go to only paradise or the first kingdom of heaven. So you mistakenly think of yourself. You don't have proper understanding of yourself. I always explain there is fleshly faith and spiritual faith. Fleshly faith is faith as knowledge. And you have to have the faith to believe from heart. And this faith to believe from heart, it will be accompanied by the deeds of practicing the Word of God. But if you have faith as knowledge, you will know, but you will not practice. This is fleshly faith. Even though you have so much measure of faith, having fleshly faith, you can be only as high as second level of faith. Or you'll be in the first
a level of faith.
So in today's passage, the messenger of the Lord measures 1,000 cubits each time before Ezekiel crossed the water. Through this, we can understand how precisely God measures each one's faith. In God's measure, before God was measuring your faith, of course I knew your measure of faith, whether first or second or third or fourth or fifth. But not so, of course, but you know that my spirit knows your measure of faith accurately. Because sometimes in your dreams, I appear and tell you your measures of faith, and when you receive the measure of faith, it is precisely correct, or sometimes it's very close. And sometimes because it's because the difference is because of the difference in the dates.
So,
you know that your measure of faith is being checked very accurately. In God's measure, if the water does not reach even the ankle, namely if you have not even gained the first level of faith, which is the lowest level of faith, you cannot be saved. Up until this point, I have explained about the sins depriving of salvation. They are idolatry, violating the Lord's day, robbing God by not giving the tithe, various kinds of sexual immorality, and obvious works of the flesh. If you commit these sins and do not repent, you cannot enter heaven. These sins are mentioned so many times in both Old and New Testaments. There are so many churches, and how come they don't teach about sins, even though they are committing so many sins leading to death? They are committing sins depriving of salvation, which will lead them to hell. Not many churches teach about these sins, and that is why so many people are sick and they go to hospitals. If you teach the proper Word of God and live by the Word of God, you won't have to take any medicines or get sick, get diseased, and go to hospital. Your children are born here in this church, and when they grow up and graduate from schools and college, most of them, they've never gone to any hospital or taken any medicine in their whole life. Even though they are not really, really living by the Word of God, but they are living by the Word of God to a, you know, minimum degree. And still, God protects them. And if you go into the rock of faith and spirit, and if you raise your children, you will teach them by the Word of God, and none of them will get ever sick or anything like that. Because God's word is absolutely true. That is why I've been preaching to you for the last 31 years. If I get a disease, you can just leave this church. You can just leave me. Why? I'm confident. Unless I violate any of the words of God, I will not get any terminal disease or any serious disease. Because God always protects me. Whether small or big, I've never been sick, I've never been to any hospital or taken any medicines, and you've been watching me for the last 31 years. The Bible clearly records that there are sins, records that there are sins for which you your salvation will be taken away. Through the last session, we had looked into 14 of them. Sins are not all the same. There are light sins that can be forgiven immediately upon repentance, while there are heavier sins that will deprive you of salvation if you continue to commit them. Suppose you got angry and suppose you slapped somebody. It is violence. And if you cannot be saved because of that, most people will not be saved. This is one of the light sins. And there are heavier sins. For example, if a new believer cannot be saved just because he has lied, how many people can be saved? Ananias and Sapphira, when they cheated Peter, they were not saved. And does that mean anybody would fall in the same category? But then if that is true, most people will not be saved. But when the same new believer robs God or commits sexual immorality, the magnitude of sin is different, even though they are new believers. If he keeps on committing those sins without repenting, he can never be saved. This is not my word, but the word of God written in the Bible. But fortunately, even if you have committed such sins, if you thoroughly repent and turn away, God will forgive you. But the sins leading to death, which I'm going to explain today, are different. That is why you have to have proper understanding and distinction between these two sins, two kinds of sins. There are sins that can be forgiven when you thoroughly repent and turn away. And there are sins of which you cannot repent at all. Namely, there are sins leading to death. Of course, if you repent, you can be forgiven, but you can never repent because God doesn't give you the spirit of repentance for the sins leading to death. Oh, that somebody repented the sins leading to death and he repented with tears. And are those tears truthful tears from that come out from the depth of the heart? Are they repenting after getting rid of that sinful nature from their heart? Is it, or it is it, actually it is that they just want to avoid the situation? That doesn't. In case of King David, after committing a sin, God gave him a trial so that he could pull out even the roots of sins. After that time, they will have adulterous mind again. It is like cutting the grass. It's like mowing the grass, not pulling out the roots themselves. And God wants us to pull out the roots of sins. If you committed adultery, for you to be forgiven of your sins, you have to pull out the root of that sinful nature. And yet you say you repented. But the sins leading to death are different. They are sins that can never be forgiven. Therefore, if you commit such sins, you will definitely face death, namely the eternal punishment in hell. 1 John 5:16 tells us that there are sins that lead to death. It says, if anyone sees his brother committing a sin not leading to death, he shall ask, and God will forgive him. So, there is a sin not leading to death, and there is a sin leading to death. So if anyone sees his brother committing a sin not leading to death, he shall ask, and God will free him, give life to those who commit sin not leading to death. So even though it is not a sin leading to death, God still calls them those who commit sin. So there, and God will for him give life. So God will let them repent and give life to them. There is a sin leading to death. I do not say that he should make a request for this. And there is a sin leading to death, and it's of no use to pray for that person. It means we don't even have to pray about that kind of sin. Are you so tense? No. You already know of these sins, and you already repented of all those sins, and now you are going towards New Jerusalem, and you have a goal to go onto the rock of faith and spirit, so you don't have to be nervous or tense. Even after going onto the rock of faith and into the spirit, unless you are awakened, you can't even go back. Being in spirit doesn't mean it's all over. If you still look back at the world, and if you befriend the world, and if you commit sins leading to death, you have no other way but to be forsaken by God. Through this verse, we can understand that there are sins that do not lead to death and those that lead to death. Also, those who committed sins leading to death cannot receive forgiveness. It tells us not to make requests for those who committed such sins. It means they themselves asking for forgiveness or others interceding for them will be useless. It is very explicitly stated. Nowadays, even the popes, they die of diseases. And after that, they give some kind of title after death. And the Pope is supposed to be the head of the church, and which does not make any sense because the Lord himself didn't say anything like that. And he's just the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and Pope is supposed to be higher. If the Lord was sick, if he was diseased, could he have preached the gospel? Did he have any disease? Of course not. And this Pope has so many diseases. All the time you watch on the news, they die of diseases. So you have to realize it. You have to gain some understanding whether they are Roman Catholic or not. All Christians, they have to understand and realize something. God's word says so many times that you will never get sick because the Lord redeemed us from poverty and diseases, and God is the healer. When I go to other countries, even in dominantly Roman Catholic Church, I preach about these things, and nobody objects to it or anything because it's true. I just state the truth, and if they argue about it, then they will only have negative effects. The result of sins leading to death is really something fearful. Brothers and sisters, now, how are sins leading to death differentiated from sins depriving of salvation? Simply stated, sins leading to death are intended for God's children who have received the Holy Spirit to commit sins depriving of salvation while knowing the truth. James 4:17 says, "Therefore, to one who knows the right thing to do and does not do it, to him it is sin." Of course, new believers in faith might commit sins, depriving of salvation in the process of trying to change their lives around, to live by the Word of God. Novices do not know the truth very well, and their faith is weak. God of mercy will take into consideration such factors when measuring the magnitude of sin. So, when a new believer or a novice commits sins depriving of salvation, if he repents from the heart and tries to cast off the sinful nature itself, God will open the way of salvation again. Those who don't know any truth, those novices, they commit sins because they don't know any truth. But they are still sins. But if they really repent and turn away, they can be forgiven. But the real problem is with those who know the Word of God and who have been believers for a significant period of time. For example, pastors or leaders who commit sins depriving of salvation. Pastors, of course, they know about the sins. The Levites, of course, they work for God's kingdom. They know. Elders, senior deaconesses, they know the truth. They know the Word of God. District leaders, group leaders, cell leaders, they know the truth. All the leaders, they are supposed to know about sins depriving of salvation. In such a case, the sin is not just a sin depriving of salvation, but it becomes a sin leading to death. Hebrews chapter 6 and 10 explain the reason why. Let us first read Hebrews chapter 6, verses 4 to 6. It says, "For in the case of those who have once been enlightened and have tasted of the heavenly gift and have been made partakers of the Holy Spirit and have tasted the good word of God and the powers of the age to come, and then have fallen away, it is impossible to renew them again to repentance, since they again crucify to themselves the Son of God and put him to open shame." Next, Hebrews chapter 10, verses 26 to 29 says, "For if we go on sinning willfully after receiving the knowledge of the truth, there no longer remains a sacrifice for sins." We go on sinning willfully after receiving the knowledge of the truth. If we willfully sin, there no longer remains a sacrifice for sins, which means there is no spirit of repentance cannot be given, but a terrifying expectation of judgment. Of course, it is terrifying, because the result of the judgment will only be hell. So, but a terrifying expectation of judgment and the fury of a fire which will consume the adversaries. Who are the adversaries of God? They are Lucifer, enemy devil, and Satan. Only the fury of a fire which will consume the adversaries, which means only hell awaits them. Anyone who has set aside the law of Moses dies without mercy on the testimony of two or three witnesses. How much severer punishment do you think he will deserve, who has trampled underfoot the Son of God and has regarded as unclean the blood of the covenant by which he was sanctified and has resulted the spirit of grace, has insulted the spirit of grace. What can we infer from these two passages? When a person commits a sin depriving of salvation, there is a very important factor to consider. It is the duration of time one has been a believer. Hebrews chapter 6 and 10 do not refer to new believers, but those who have tasted of the heavenly gift and have received the knowledge of truth. They have been believers for quite some time and have even received such titles as elders, leaders, or pastors. If these people do not circumcise their hearts, but commit sins depriving of salvation, following their lusts, and especially doing it repeatedly, they cannot repent and there is no forgiveness. Such sins are referred to as sins leading to death. So, there is this distinction. If you violate the Sabbath, you have to be stoned to death. But, so suppose you violated the Sabbath, and if you didn't repent, and if you meet the Lord in that state, you cannot be saved. But, if you repented, and if you are forgiven, you will be saved. So there are sins of which you can be forgiven. And while there are sins that cannot be forgiven, you cannot repent, and even though you try to repent, you cannot repent. Because you knowingly and willfully committed those sins, knowing that there are sins, grave sins. Suppose you are wearing white clothes and you put black ink on that. Can you make it completely clean again? And if you put black ink again and again, And again and again and again, repeatedly, it'll become more and more black. And can you make it completely clean, completely white, just with some detergent? Even though you put it in the washing machine with so much soap, you cannot make it completely clean. By the way, among our church members, there are many of you who have not received any position or title in the church, yet you have been believers for as long as 5, 10, or even 30 years. Most of you have experienced the spiritual realm, and you know the Word of God very well, too. Therefore, even though you are not pastors, elders, or leaders in the church, I hope you will understand this message very well and take caution. Among the senior citizens, some of the senior deaconesses too, they have cancers or they have grave sins. And later they come to me saying they are repenting. Of course they know the truth, but probably they just ignored whatever they heard. When they were young, you know, they aborted their children, aborted again and again, and they committed murder in multiple cases. And suppose God, if God gave them any disease at that time, they wouldn't even have understood why, and they couldn't even repent. But now you know the truth, so God works that way, so you can repent of your past sins. You will understand why you got such a disease. Now you have the word of the word of God. So now you understand that you murdered your own babies. And now you have this disease. So God is giving you a chance of repentance. So you can thoroughly repent and receive salvation. That is the love and grace of God. And if you hadn't known it, you will not be able to give an excuse on the day of judgment. God will say, you murdered your own children many times. And what kind of excuse can you give? The message I preached, I don't have enough time. After this week, next week, it'll be anniversary, so I have to preach according to the messages for the anniversary. So I don't know when I can preach these messages again, because I have to go up to the mountain prayer again, and I hope you will remember them. Keep it in mind firmly, so don't even go near to the sins leading to death. We don't have so much time left, and we must adorn ourselves as beautiful brides of the Lord, have the goal to go into New Jerusalem. It's not too late. If you just try hard, unless you are looking down on and ignoring this word of truth. There are people who are actually ignoring the word of the truth. The new believers, they might not understand it, but those who understand it, you know, don't get angry, God says, and yet they still get angry. And of course, they should be following the men of spirit, and they stand up against these men of spirit. But if you are just trying to follow the way of God, it's not too late. There are sins leading to death. And so please have a proper understanding about these things. So you must keep them in mind. You must not forget these things. Please keep them in mind all the time. And so you can also teach your children and also in cell group members or when you preach the gospel to others. I ask you that all of you will receive salvation.
If
you live by the word of God, all of you will receive blessings. None of you will get ever sick. As I explained, our church must not have any sick person. Of course, from now on, we will not have anybody who is sick. If you just obey and dwell in the word of God, all the diseases will leave, and they cannot come to you. And all infirmities. And as you go into the rock of faith and spirit, you will be strengthened and you will be healed. Those in the summer retreat, those who came from other countries, they don't have any faith. They didn't have so much faith. You know, the deaf came to hear, the mute came to speak, and so many cancers were healed. So many of them were healed in the summer retreat, although they didn't have so much faith. You know, they were telling me, my son, my daughter, my mother, even after some time, it took place in the first week of August. So I hope all these things will be purified so that our church will be a church that is proper in the sight of God so that we can receive all the blessings that God has in store for us. So that we can build Canaan Sanctuary and the Grand Sanctuary, and we'll have so many powerful men of God who are in spirit and whole spirit, and we'll be united as one and accomplish world evangelism. Let us pray. I pray for the sick. Father God, lay your hands on all these members, from head to toe, all entrails and cells and nerves and tissues, burn them with the fire of the Holy Spirit and make them whole. There are many prayer requests from other countries. Father, lay your hands on them and touch them and heal them, transcending space and time. Silvino, Philippines, heart function, let the heart function recover. Esther, Nepal, let her bear a baby well on the expected day. Abilio has back pain from biliary obstruction, disorder of the immune system, hyperlipidemia, metabolic disturbance, be healed. And Luise, give her blessing of conception. Yumukyeol, let him pass the entrance exam of Keio University, and Yo Seisei, let her give birth on the smoothly, with ease, and hook mom in church. Let the church members be kept safely. And Sun Shu Xiang, whole body pain and muscular atrophy of legs, be healed. Sun Hai, herniated lumbar disc, be healed. Wang Juan and Zhou Ju Xiang, enteropathy and right hand pain, be healed. Li Xue Ren, let her recover eyesight. And Chen Wen Chen, pain in the back pain go away. Zhang Wixin, chronic rhinitis go away. Dai Hong Ying, skin disease go away. Liu Aizhen, kidney cancer go away. Wang Touwu, epilepsy be healed. Zhou Mingxia, insomnia, be healed by the Father, give him sleep. Judan, thyroid disease, kidney stone, herniated cervical disc, be healed by the fire of the Holy Spirit. Jia Ori, right breast tumor, Father, burn this tumor. Ten Chung Dang, lung cancer, be healed by the fire of the Holy Spirit. Ten Pei Yi, arthritis and complications, be healed. Of complications of diabetes, go away. Ten Yi Ting, brain atrophy, undergrowth, be healed. Wang Jing, last stage of stomach cancer, be healed. Wang Wixia, herniated cervical disc, high blood pressure, be healed. Wang Dan Dan, pneumonia and fever, go away. Zheng Zhoren, chronic pharyngitis, be healed. Yu Weiwei, let her pass the graduate school exam. And there are readers of In Victory and viewers of TBN Russia. There are hundreds of prayer requests. Father, answer to them. Let light come. Show your works transcending space and time. Father, from head to toe, all entrails and serves and teaches burn them with the fire of the Holy Spirit. Let the eyes see well, let the ears hear well, let all the internal organs be burnt by the fire of the Holy Spirit, be cleansed, all skin diseases go away, all cancers, metastasized cancers go away, be healed by the fire of the Holy Spirit. High and low blood pressure, diabetes go away, all infirmities. Father, all weaknesses, all weak bones, and Father, make them whole and healthy from head to toe. All entrails, cells, and nerves and tissues, burn them with the fire of the Holy Spirit and be cleansed. All kinds of germs and viruses and diseases go away. Light come, Father, make them whole. Father, be glorified. Protect all the church vehicles and church members' vehicles and let them make no mistakes while driving. Father, thank you. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen.